There's one other announcement that I would like to mention, and this has to do with the meals. Let me just read this. So what we're doing is working to have online a sign-up sheet to help with youth meals for youth group. And so that gives an opportunity for people on Zoom and people that are here an ability to sign up to be able to help. And you can also sign up in the office if you would like to help with a youth meal. And when is youth group again? Coming up in next Sunday. Very good. And thanks to Mark and Katie and Patty, who are our faithful youth group leadership team. We really appreciate that. So if I was to hand you a football, how excited would that make you? If I was to hand you a football. But if I was to, now this doesn't have to be your favorite team, but if I was to hand you front row tickets in the stadium to the 49ers game, how excited would that make you? Well, like I said, it's not your team. Maybe it's not your team. But if I was to hand you two tickets to your team, how excited would you be? All right? You know, this morning, Mike and the team led us in a song that said, stir it up in our hearts, Lord. You know, and the idea is that we would be stirred up about who Christ is and knowing Christ and living for Christ. I'll tell you straight up, though, singing a song and repeating, stir it up in our hearts, Lord, stir it up in our hearts, Lord, stir it up in our hearts, Lord, that's kind of like you being just handed a football. You want your heart to get stirred up about Christ and the Holy Spirit, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, break into the Word of God and read the stories of Christ. Read the events of Scripture. Read what happened to Moses and Elijah and Joshua. Read what happened to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Acts of the Apostles. Then your heart will be stirred up. You know, I think sometimes we kind of anticipate and hope that we would be stirred up by doing a little something, by singing a song. Certainly those can lead us to worship. But truly, if you want to be stirred up about Christ, if you want to know the living God, open that book that's on your shelf and read about him. Have a plan. Open the Word. Use your marker, your highlighter, your pen, whatever you do to highlight your Scripture and be in the Word of God. Romans says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how your heart will be stirred up. So yesterday we had this Vision 21 meeting, and it's a real simple title. Vision is looking forward. 21 is the year that we're going into. And the concern and the goal is that with the year we've just had and the year that we're currently in, this season, this difficulty, we need to have new and significant ways to touch people's lives. There are needs that are much bigger because of what's happened with COVID-19. There are needs in people's lives, and the ways that we can touch people, interact with people, engage people, we need to be thinking about how to do that better. And so I just want to say that to you. And in this service, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But for a second, I want to just look back. And I want to say thank you to so many who helped us do church as best we could in the last 10 or 11 months. We had teams of people that were getting ready and hauling sound equipment, pianos, guitars, things outside on the lawn, getting waters ready and tents put up and things to make it feasible for us to gather as Christians and worship together. And I just want to thank you for that. I think parents this year have been in a very challenging time. because, you know, even with church, we didn't have Sunday school for kids out here. And so the kids was like, what do we do with the kids? You know, we tried to be real gracious, and we are. We love children being here. But, you know, what do you do with the kids? Well, we're out here on the grass or back in the parking lot. And so we had kids, you know, playing some games. And but you know what? Praise God that they were there and they got to see you worship and listen from a distance to what was happening possibly. We want them here. And I just want to say thank you, parents, for sticking in there. It's been a hard year. It's been a hard year. Things have changed at school. Things have changed in our homes. Many of you people didn't have a chance to meet with any family over Christmas, or a very small or limited group, or you did it on purpose. So I just want to say thank you. I appreciate what everybody did. Our staff here in the church, we tried our best to keep things moving and meet needs as they came along. I'm praying that we're going to see a change this year. Praise God, we have not had a huge outbreak of COVID-19 here at Pioneer Bible Church. We've had a number of families who have had COVID-19 and who have healed, and praise God for that. I think I would continue to ask us to pray for our first responders, for our people in hospitals, doctors and nurses. It's come very close to home. My son Jamin has watched many people die from COVID-19 this year, the last few months. And it is taking a toll on him. And I think it has on all of our doctors and nurses, first responders. Pray for them. It's not an easy time. They deal with death all the time. So, thank you. I'm glad that we're looking forward to maybe some changes in 2021. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. We're going to be looking at a number of different scriptures this morning. In fact, as I turn and we have that going there, let me pray for us. Our Father, I thank you, God, that you are God and you're the God that changes lives. And we actually offer again to you these Vision 21 ideas. We prayed before we came. We prayed while we were here. And we're going to continue to pray as we develop these ideas and as people step up to take leadership roles in these ideas and as people join teams to help those ideas unfold. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this year to your honor and glory. I pray, God, that many more people would come to Christ, would choose to believe in Christ as their Savior. Lord, I usually look at Facebook just to kind of catch up with people. Something was posted about a group of Christians in Nigeria who were martyred this week for their faith. 5 men who were shot, taken out of their church. It was a Christmas Eve service, and they were killed by ISIS. And Lord, we don't have to pay that kind of a price here for our faith, but I pray for those families, those grieving, aching families in Nigeria, and I think this week I counted, there was like 26 different people in Nigeria who were killed for their Christian faith. Lord, we live to your honor and glory. And I pray for the strength and the ability that we need. Lord, we are servants. You are God. Help us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, very familiar words, it says, "For I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I just want to point out in that verse, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And what that scripture teaches us is that it is Christ in you who is alive in you, that lives in you, and that works through you as you are serving Christ with your life. We serve the risen Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible, and we're not going to turn there, but the Bible just simply teaches us, we are the body of Christ. So we serve the risen Christ. The risen Christ indwells us. We are the body of Christ, his church. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, we walk in newness of life. And then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, again, it says, we have been raised with Christ. Now turn to Matthew chapter 28. These are just rehearsing some thoughts that certainly the Bible teaches, we've been looking at recently. Matthew chapter 28. As we look forward, by the way, I'd like you to remember these simple phrases. As we look forward, these simple phrases. Reach wide, by the way, is a phrase that many churches use when we're talking about reaching to our community for Christ. So we're to reach wide as the body of Christ, and we're to grow deep, grow in Christ, develop our faith. Some churches have phrases like teach deep. We're to grow deep in our walk with God, right? And the last thing is, I'm going to just say it this way, we're to serve joyfully. We were made to serve. You know, Clay was up here yesterday and he said, you know, I just feel good. It's just, as a Christian, to serve Christ with our gifts and abilities, it makes you feel good to do that. It's what you're made to do. You know, if you use a hammer as a hammer and it's made to use as a hammer and you use it as a hammer, it would feel good to be used as a hammer. You know, we are made to serve. And so in Matthew chapter 28, these verses of scripture, Jesus is talking. I love the fact that he says, all authority has been given in heaven and earth has been given to me. Christ has the authority to say these things to us as God the Son. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. So we are to go. And that's what we're talking about yesterday, Clay, when we talked about reaching out, reaching wide to our community for Christ. In fact, the phrase actually has the idea of as you're going, go. You know, as you're going along the way. When you're a grocery outlet, when you're at Safeway, when you're at Raley's, when you're at Costco, you're going. And as you're going, you are a representative of Christ, and Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and you can share that. Now, maybe you don't say it specifically, but you are a Christian as you go. So we go. Secondly, we make disciples. Disciples are ones who are followers of Christ, and that is a deliberate decision that a person makes. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom's father. When Corrie, you know, the Nazis, they said they were Christians, right? Some of them claimed to be Christ followers. Well, their actions, and Corrie was talking to her dad and said, you know, Dad, these people say this, but look what they're doing. And he said something like, you know, a mouse in a cookie jar doesn't make it a cookie, right? So make disciples. People need to understand what it means to follow Christ, what it means to be a follower, a disciple, a learner, of Christ. So we make disciples. That's why in church we are in the Word. We're learning the Word, understanding the Word. In our Sunday school classes, that's why we go through Scripture, books of the Bible, to learn what James has to say and what Matthew has to say and what Paul has to say and so on. So go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing new believers in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you know, you don't have to look very far to understand that God describes himself. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We serve one God who is in three persons. God describes himself as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is our God. That is the Bible. That is the God of the Bible. We baptize. We baptize disciples. That they're being identified with Christ. And we believe and preach, again, that from God's holy word, that there is the Trinity. We know, you know, the people that knock on our door, they say, there's no Trinity in the Bible. There's no word Trinity. Well, there's not. There's not a word Trinity in the Bible. It's just the Bible teaches and describes God, that God is indeed the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's 1, 2, 3, a tri-unity. That's what that means. The Trinity is the tri-unity of God, okay? So, and then we teach all disciples all of God's holy word. You know, Christ taught us that we are to believe and to obey. And you can't obey unless you learn, and so we teach. We teach Sunday school. How many years, Mike, you've been teaching high school Sunday school here? Like 30 almost. You know, we teach Sunday school. We teach Bible classes. We teach kids in children's church and VBS and Awana. And we're teaching. We're teaching us. We're in the Word. He says, go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then God's promise that he is there to strengthen us, to be with us, to protect us, to guard us, to give us strength facing whatever kind of obstacles we face. He says, and lo, I am with you always to the ends of the earth. So you put together, and by the way, this is our mission statement. Our mission statement is Matthew chapter 28, 18, 19, and 20. Okay? By the way, it's like the oldest mission statement. It's Christ's words of a mission statement. It's why we exist. And then you put that together with these simple words that we have: reach wide, grow deep, serve joyfully. That's really what we're called to do. And I want to just put that out there. Let's see. Yep, we finished that. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, please, with me. By the way, I reread the majority of Ephesians just this morning. And I thought, man, I'd like to just read all of Ephesians today in church. Like you're saying, Roland, you can't do it all, right? Amen. But here's what happens in Ephesians, okay? What happens in Ephesians is Paul reaches wide, and he grows deep, and he serves joyfully. That's what happens in the book of Ephesians. It is rich, rich, rich. In chapter 2, these words that we have said over and over again, verse 8, 9, and 10. I want to correlate this verse with this Old Testament verse. In just a minute, we're going to turn to the book of Zechariah. Okay? And Zechariah is a prophet. And Zechariah was given a word from God for a man named Zerubbabel. You remember that? You remember those stories in the Old Testament? And Zechariah, from God to Zerubbabel, said these words: not by might, nor by power, but by thy spirit, says the Lord. Now, Zerubbabel was being challenged to rebuild the temple. And Zerubbabel was being challenged to rebuild the temple. And this is what God was saying to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, it's not by might that you're going to do this. It's not because you're a big strapping guy and you're strong and able and filled with intellect that you're going to do this. It's not by might. It's not by your power, your authority, what you have in the community and the gifts that you have and the things that you humanly obtain. He said, Zerubbabel, it's not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We're going to get this job done. We're going to get this task completed is because we are on our knees, trusting in God, leaning on God, the Holy Spirit, to help us and guide us and give us direction to get it done. As we think about reaching wide to Somerset and growing deep in our faith and serving Christ joyfully, it's not by your might or by your power. It's by God's Holy Spirit that it's going to happen. We need to truly, first of all, we need to know Christ. We need to know the message of Christ so we know what we're sharing with our community. And then as we're sharing it, remember, it's not by might. Not by power, it's by thy spirit, says the Lord. Now, with that in mind, look at this Ephesians chapter 2 verse passage. 2 verse 8 says, by grace you have been saved. Not by might, not by your power, by the gift of God you've been saved. Through faith in Christ Jesus. And this is not your own doing. This, you didn't do this. God drew your heart. And he sent God the Son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. And it's not by, let me just keep reading. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. It's not a result of works so that no one may boast. We can't boast in any of our salvation or who we are, what we have as gifts, because we're something and we're going to pat ourselves in the back. It's all about God. It's all about God. I'm just going to show you these. My son, I might have already showed you these. My son Jamin bought me these for Christmas. You know what he told me? He said, Dad, you will never buy these for yourself. And he's right. They're $50 gloves. I buy the three-pack at Home Depot, the leather gloves that I wear out, and they get hard as rocks while you're wearing them, right? And he bought me these gloves. So they're really nice. I could just wear them right now. They really feel good. They got this nice little fleece lining on the inside and so on. But what's that? They do well. They might. I'm not going to wear these very often, though, Mark. I'm going to use these selectively. Yeah. But what is a glove? Yeah, glove's a tool. Glove's a tool. And if I just put my gloves right there and I say, stack that wood. What's going to happen? Yeah. Nothing. Nothing's going to happen. You can't. These gloves aren't going to do anything. Well, what do they need? They need hands, right? They need the, I'm going to say it this way, we kind of need the master's hand inside the glove. You know what, guys? We're the tool. You're the tool. You're the tool. You're the tool. He's the master. So what happens is the master puts on the gloves. He puts on you. He says, you're my tool here in this place, and I'm going to use you for my honor and glory. And you know, a pair of gloves are worthless if they don't have the master's hands in them to do something. And you know what? We're useless unless we have the master's hands in us doing stuff through us. So back to these verses, it says, by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not of works that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so He is God. We're the tools. He's working in us, and he works through us. What do we need to do to be part of this program? We do. We need to obey. We need to say, Lord, here am I. I'm ready to go to work. And so we'll just leave that. I just want to say, Christians serve, and they serve with these three things in mind today. Dependently, they serve humbly, and they serve sacrificially. Okay? We're dependent upon God. Nothing you did, right? It's just God that has made us and saved us, fills us, uses us. We save humbly. We don't do it for our credit or our recognition. We serve humbly before God. God, I am your servant. We read those words. It says, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And then thirdly, we serve, and we serve Christ sacrificially. That means that we serve him first. We serve him at any cost. Joe Coca and I were talking about, you know, how many of the disciples died a natural death? Maybe one. We don't actually know what happened to John, but how did the rest of them die? Yeah, Judas did, but he was never numbered with them. I mean, he was with them, but he wasn't one of them. But yeah, they all went to the cross, so to speak, for Christ. So we serve sacrificially. So Zechariah 4, verse 6 says, and let me just say this, as we serve Christ in 2021, I'd like us to begin considering this scripture in the Old Testament in Zechariah 4, 6, which says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Again, Zerubbabel had the responsibility to complete the rebuilding of the temple, and God would be Zerubbabel's strength and resource and power and help to complete the task ahead. God was telling and reminding him that the task would be completed not by human might, not by human wealth or power, by human physical stamina. They would be completed by the work of God, the Holy Spirit, working through Zerubbabel. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is the place where Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray, but I'd just like to focus on one simple part in this passage. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus is talking to the disciples. I'm just saying redundant things here, but Jesus is God in the flesh, and the disciples were men that began to follow Christ. They were his disciples, and they believed in him, and they followed him. And one day they asked him, Jesus, John's disciples, John has taught them how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And Jesus taught them. But in the teaching of this prayer, I want to focus on something I think that is obvious as we read it. Jesus said in verse 9, pray like this. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven. Oh, that's our Zoom folks, huh? Hi, everybody. Trying to figure it out. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What I want to point out is, it's all about him. The disciples were learning to pray, but I'm not even sure how to describe this. There needs to be a shift from thinking, I can do it on my own. I can do it with my strength. I deserve a pat on the back because of what I've done. Or I am a tool in the hand of the master, and I serve with gratitude, and I serve with humility and dependence and sacrifice. So in this passage, when it says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, it's his power and it's his worthiness. Hallowed be your name. It's his will. Thy will be done. It's his kingdom. His kingdom work. It's not my kingdom work. Thy will be done. Your kingdom come. It's his will, his kingdom, his plan. We are dependent on him. Give us this day our daily bread. The focus is on, Lord, you give us. We're dependent on him. We are forgiven by him, which makes us grateful and indebted and have gratitude toward him. So it's his power, his worthiness, his will, his kingdom, his plan. We are dependent on him. We are forgiven by him, so we forgive. And then it's his warning, you know, when he says, deliver us from evil, and it's his deliverance. He is the one that is at work. What he does is he fills the tools, and we're more important than a glove and more important than a hammer or a ratchet, because we are saved souls. But in the sense that we are here for his purposes. He wanted Zerubbabel to get it. Paul got it. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And he wants us to get it. I don't know if we would all agree with this at first thought, but you know, on our own, we have no ability. On our own, we have no power. We're going to get no credit or recognition. Now, by the grace of God, someday when we're in his presence, there will be rewards that we will bless him with by laying them back at his feet. But there will be rewards, and there are more rewards that we're not going to talk about right now. But basically, on our own, while we're here, to do spiritual eternal work, we have no ability, no power. We are tools in the master's hand. I've never done this before, but I'm going to read you something off my phone. And I was trying I came across this man who's a pastor back in the Midwest, I believe. His name is Pastor Lance Buckless. He's a pastor in a Baptist church back there, a young man. I was really touched by the simple story that he wrote. I'm going to read it to you. He says, when I was young, my father instilled in me a love for fixing things. And I like this because I like to fix things. I remember my favorite toys being tools that I had liberated from my dad's toolbox. I've done that. And sometimes he found them and he said, those belong in my toolbox, not on the ground. I would spend my days taking things apart to see how they worked and then attempting to put them back together, which meant they probably would never work again. As I grew older, I learned to do all the maintenance on my car and then eventually joined the military, where I would spend the next 21 years as an aircraft mechanic. I truly enjoy fixing things. If you were to go to my garage, you would find a toolbox filled with different tools, wrenches, sockets, screwdrivers. Some of them were so specific that I purchased them for a specific job, never to be used again. I have some of those. If anybody needs tools that have only been used once, I may have one for you. With these tools, I have repaired cars, bicycles, lawnmowers, motorcycles, and even airplanes. As useful as these tools are, they are just tools. When I have finished a job and I'm cleaning up, I do not look at my wrench and say, thank you for fixing my car. I do not send my hammer a thank you card or praise my sockets. That would be silly. They are just tools whose purpose is found only in the hands of the mechanic. This reminds me of one of the most humbling truths I have learned in my walk with Christ. When I present the gospel to a lost soul and a person follows Christ, I'm just a tool in the hands of the Master. When I preach the word of God and lives are transformed, I am just a tool in the hand of the Master. When I serve Christ in any capacity, it is as an instrument, a tool in the hands of my Redeemer. A tool finds its significance in its use to the Master. A wrench is just a hunk of metal in a drawer. It can be nice and shiny, well-oiled, and maintained, but its importance is not in how good it looks in the toolbox. It is designed to be used by the mechanic to do a job. In other words, a tool only finds its purpose when it is in the hands of a mechanic. How many Christians are missing this important truth? They look good sitting there in the pew, Bible open in their Sunday best, the picture of piety. But we may not find, we do not find our purpose in the pew. Our significance is found when we get up and get busy doing the will of God. We are the tools that God wants to use to impact those around us. This is our purpose. In Acts 9:15, the scripture says about Ananias, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel.'" Paul was a chosen instrument, a tool unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. The second thing he says is, a tool is only useful when it's available. Nothing is more frustrating, see if you can relate to this, nothing is more frustrating than needing a tool that you do not have. It makes the job much more difficult and takes more time to complete. Many times I have had to use another tool that was not designed for that particular job just to get it done. Oh, man, and that can be a knuckle breaker. Though I may be able to use a ratchet as a hammer, it is not effective, and my ratchet may not survive the process. I wonder how many times God wanted to use me for a specific role, but I was not available, so he used someone else. This is why Paul encourages us. No, he begs us to be a living sacrifice available to God for whatever he needs. And a tool doesn't get jealous when another tool is used instead. I've been working on cars and planes for many years. I've had many different tools for many different types of applications. When a hammer is what I need, I'd grab a hammer. When a half-inch wrench is required, that is what I used. Not one time has a screwdriver ever complained because I used a different tool. Each one has a specific application and is put to use accordingly. Do we get jealous when God uses another person instead of us? When another preacher comes in and shares the same truths that I've been sharing for months or even years, and people respond to their message but not mine, how do I react? Do I get jealous, or am I thankful that the Lord is working? If we remember who we are and who our Lord is, our reaction will be one of glorifying God and not the tool. And I think that's where I'll stop there. You know, the different than tools, though, because we don't thank our ratchet, right? We don't thank our hammer. Do you thank your shovel when you're done rolling? Oh, you do. Yeah, yeah. But the good part is God does, there is a reward kind of at the end. There will be a thank you when the Lord says, what? Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's a beautiful thing. In the book of Luke in chapter 17, Luke is talking about servants, and the servant comes in and after working all day, Well, I think I'll save that story for another time. Tools in the master's hand. Romans chapter 15. We'll start to wrap this up. And I mean that, actually. Romans chapter 15. I just want to show you how Paul understood this. Romans chapter 15, verse 18. You know, Paul was amazing in his teaching. God used him in great ways, but listen to his attitude. In verse 18 in chapter 15, he says, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me." Isn't that beautiful? Paul says, what only matters is what Christ has accomplished through me. That's it. Look in Philippians with me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul speaks again. And this is a very interesting little passage of scripture here. You know, Paul had all the accolades in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Sorry about that. Philippians chapter 3. And kind of in the middle of verse 5, you know, he says, "I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law he was blameless." He basically was saying, man, I did it perfectly. But in verse 7 he says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." And I just think, you know, if we're going to be effective, that's the kind of attitude that we need to have. The most valuable thing you have is Christ. The most valuable thing you offer is Christ. The most valuable thing you could say would be to talk about Christ. He says, "Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I counted everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." And I'll just stop right there. You know, we bring our tool to Christ, and the tool has been, and in the tool has been placed gifts. Maybe you're a prophet or a teacher or an encourager or a mercy or a giver, whatever your part is. Maybe you're a combination of many of those different things. And so we bring ourselves as a servant to the Lord and say, "Lord, here am I, use me." But all through these scriptures, what God is saying to us is, it's all about me. And I guess I will be honest and say there's times where I kind of wish people would pat me on the back or say, good job. And there's nothing wrong with that, giving a word of encouragement to each other. But what's our motivation? Why do we do what we do? You know, Paul is saying to us, everything I have, I count as loss for the sake of knowing Christ, teaching Christ, walking with Christ. It's all about him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, turn there for just a minute. Just a couple other verses we're going to turn to. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Paul is again speaking, and he says, you know, my speech, thank you very much. He says, my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest in the not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Just see those words in correlation with what we're saying today. My speech and my... Paul had tons of great things to say. You know, some people have said, well, maybe he wasn't a great speaker. He had tons of great things to say. But what he says here is, my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but what were they? They were in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And, you know, that's what we want the work of Pioneer Bible Church to be, that when people look at the work of Pioneer Bible Church, they say, man, God's at work in those people. Those people are dependent, and they're humble, and they're sacrificial, and they know that it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Thanks, Andre. And then turn to Psalm 33, way back in the Old Testament. Psalm 33. Look what the psalmist has to say in verse 13. It says, the Lord looks down from heaven, and he sees all the children of men. And from where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. Okay, so he not only looks down, but he knows he's looking down on creation, and it's his creation. Verse 16, the king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, and on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. And there's another Old Testament passage that says we don't put our hope in chariots or horses. We put our hope in the Lord our God. In 1 Corinthians 6, it talks about glorifying God with your body and with your life. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it talks about his divine power that's at work in us. And the last scripture we'll look at is Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. And I'll close with this. I do just want to say this, though. You know, serving Christ, it may end up that we are spent for Christ. Hebrews 11 talks about all these people who, they didn't get protected. They got martyred for their faith. And we may end up being spent for Christ. Those people in Nigeria did. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, the last verse. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. That's a good thing. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Okay, so what's the final goal? That we would be to the praise of his glory. Look at these other things real quickly with me again. Verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance. That's our salvation. That's our hope in Christ. having been predestined, that God knew beforehand, according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. And that's it. You know what? I want to live, and I want us to live, to the praise of his glory. When we say the words, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we're dependent. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. It's all about him. So we have the privilege, and we do. We have the privilege to say, God, here I am. I know it's you who are at work in me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And we can say to him, Lord, here we are as a church, Pioneer Bible Church, and thank you for already doing this. I know I'm not telling you new things today, but as we look forward to 21, I don't want you to get exhausted by trying to do this in your own strength. I want you to look forward to 21 and say, Lord, here I am. Fill me. I'm the tool, Lord. I'm the glove. Put your hand in me and use me to your honor and glory. And let God work in you and through you. That's why we're here. So here we are. And honestly, I am again thankful that I get to be with you doing this. Thank you for the way that you reach out to others. Literally, I look and I can see, I don't know all of you, but many of you I know, and I've watched how God has used you to reach out to others, to care for others, to meet needs, to bring Christ into a situation. That's why we're here. Let's pray and have a worship team come up, and then we'll sing a worship song. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to serve you. Lord, we have looked over these scriptures. We've watched a man like the Apostle Paul, who was mighty in word and deed, say, it's not about me. It's only what Christ accomplishes in me that matters. Lord, here we are, and we realize we're tools, Lord, but we want to be available tools. Do you want to be available to him? We want to be available, Lord. We want to say, Lord, here I am. And I pray, Lord, that this year, I confess, Lord, that I ended up 2020 feeling emotionally spent. And Lord, I'm glad for these words, not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, says the Lord of hosts, that we simply say, God, I need your strength. I need you to fill me and use me, and I am available for you to use me. Father, please, that is our commitment. That is what we offer. That is what we surrender to. Thank you, Lord. This week, there's going to be a lot of ways for us to be used. Help us to be willing and ready to be used by you. Give us strength, Lord. Thank you that you promised to always be with us. I pray and thank you. May this be to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. Not amplified?
That's fine. There it goes. Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. He is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
Sing praise. So can I pick on somebody? Would you pray for us, Brian?
Dear Heavenly Father, come to you today in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. I hope that you'll see this congregation and our worship today and how we sounded. I was just thinking how wonderful we all sounded together, even though I didn't sing. Everybody was on key.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. That's a great song, Mike. Forever and ever and ever. God is faithful. Enjoy. Thank you.